And I don't know how, if we look different than other people, I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't know. But we were absolutely ignored. We stood there, people would walk up, they would respond to those people. We were standing right there. And this went on for 10 or 15 minutes. Several people. We began to talk about it. You know. And then finally, we were taken care of. There is a disdain between Jews and Gentiles in parts of the world, especially in that part, apparently, in that hotel. Of course, we're aware because it's in the news every day and has been going on for years of wars and bombs and threats. And it's something that goes on and on and on and on. It's probably one of the most divided areas of the world where people are so divided. I don't expect it to change in the natural. But when you observe it firsthand, you begin to realize just what an absolute miracle it is. What the Lord did in breaking down the middle wall of partition and making of two one. Not just two, but making of a Jew and a Gentile one in him. Now, I heard a comment one time of an evangelist's wife as we were out to dinner after the meeting, made a slanted comment. She was from the South. And when she said what she said, it was the first time I'd ever heard a Holy Ghost-filled person make a statement like this. Now, I don't even remember the statement. All I remember is the feeling that came to me behind the statement. Like, are you kidding me? You really have those feelings? Do you really have the Holy Ghost? I was absolutely shocked. Do you remember that? We were so shocked. We'd never witnessed anybody like that. Apparently, her wall had not been broken down. There was something that was ingrained. But the scripture says the work of the Holy Ghost will absolutely dispel and bring a love between a people who were bitter enemies, bitter hatred, disdain, and bring a love between them. That is a miracle. It is a work of the Spirit. It's above the human element. You can't talk people into that. It's a powerful work. Should happen to every one of us that receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There should be a regeneration and a transforming of our minds. A renewing, right, of our minds. By a work of the Holy Ghost, the power of His Word, which is forever settled, right? Okay, I'd like to read through some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 19. The wages of what? Sin is $35. $45. No, we all know it. We've heard it all our lives, or at least all of our church life, Bible life. The wages of sin is death. Sin has a wage. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Okay? There's none good, no, not one. And so we come into this world shaped in sin, born in sin. The sin element is there and existing in our life. We're not pure and innocent from it. We're not. Because of one man, sin passed on to all men. Right? Because of the sin of one man, sin passed on, what was his name? Adam. Sin was passed on to all men. So we are born into this world in debt. Indebted. And the real problem is that the price that needs to be paid, we can't afford. We can't pay the price. But the Lord Jesus paid the price. He paid a price we couldn't pay. He bought us. Now, we use the term redeemed us. We see that as a holy term, but what it means is he paid the bill. He settled the score. So, if you buy something, who owns it? Sears and Roebuck? If you buy it, you own it. It's yours. You're not renting, right? You're buying. Is the Lord renting? No, he bought. He purchased. He paid the price. What was the price? Huh? Blood! Sorry. Lost my voice. Blood. He paid the price of blood. Now, let's go to the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Oh, he bought that too. Which are God's? Glorify God in my body. The things that my body is involved in should bring glory to God. The things that I subject my body to should bring glory to God. Okay? Second Peter 2 and 1. Oh, wait. I'm not finished. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Oh, yeah, I was. Sorry. 2 Peter 2 and 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We're just going to read in several areas of Scripture here. The same thought. The Lord paid the price. Okay? Acts chapter 20 at verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ephesians 1 and 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You are his possession. We are his possession. He owns us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse, I'm not sure which one. One, I think. You hath he quickened. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, which is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, there was a season before, indebted to sin, indebted by sin, pursuing lives of sin, under the influence of the spirit of this world, or unto the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I think sometimes we underestimate the things at work. I think we underestimate. You may call somebody nobody calls anybody sinners anymore. Non-believers. Unchurched.
That for a term for you,
the unchurched. You just will call them, you know, market X. We just haven't got a franchise in that territory yet, so they're unchurched. There's some real kingdom talk for you. walking in sin under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, and a spirit working in the children of disobedience. That's what we were. That's what he purchased us from. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to pay the price, to buy us back, to redeem us unto him. Who? Him. Himself. Paid the price so he could own us. Right? Okay. Among whom also, let's see. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Stay with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul is bringing to remembrance the believers at Ephesus. What was common in the city of Ephesus? What was the landmark in the city of Ephesus? Do you remember? Eh? What was the landmark there? The temple of Artemis, Diana, Barnabas. And when people begin to receive the Holy Ghost, there was a power that became operative in their life that they quit buying idols from the local idol builder in town. That's what raised the big stink that created a riot. Paul bringing the gospel to them responding brought a power working in their life. Pray with me right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help us to see clearly tonight what you have given to us, Lord Jesus. What you have given to us freely, Father. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, the variance, the separation, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God. In one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I was watching a news special one time where they were interviewing two mothers. One was the mother of a young lady who had set off a bomb. She was Arab, Muslim. And then the other mother, see, they tried to, it was for a year and a half, they tried to bring them together to talk face to face. One lost her daughter who set off a bomb. The other one lost her daughter because the bomb was set off in a marketplace. Time had passed and they were verbalizing the need to reconcile and the need to get beyond and then, you know, and trying to tell the world, you know, it's really not a problem. And you know, when they were masquerading this falsehood. And so they could not bring them together face to face, but finally they got them to sit in front of cameras in, you know, different parts of a city or different cities and be interviewed. And each one of them gave this, you know, how difficult it was, but we, you know, we really don't hate. And I'm watching this and I'm listening to the dialogue go back and forth, and all of a sudden something sparks. And if those two women could get through that camera, they'd have killed each other. I thought, my goodness, what? Why are they parading this? Why are they trying to make this look to be something different than it was? The hatred, the disdain was so strong. And I thought when it was all, you know, said and done, man, I knew there was something the matter there. They were just lying. They weren't telling the truth. There's a hatred. But the scripture bears out that the power of the Holy Ghost could overcome something that the world knows not what to do with. Bringing people back into right relationship with God. When people are in right relationship, there is a love that prevails. There's an emptiness. There's a servanthood. There's something, a selflessness that prevails upon an individual when they're brought back into right relationship. He paid the price to bring us back into right relationship, right? We're not our own. He paid it. Now, stay here. At verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both. Not just the Gentile, the Jew. Reconcile both in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Slain the enmity thereby. He killed it. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. A Jew is proclaiming to a Gentile, you don't know how close we have come one to another. Oh, we were separated for a long time. And if we were in close proximity, we were still separated. Because you didn't talk to me and I didn't talk to you. But when he brought us into communion with him, you and I are brothers. You and I are one. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We don't have time to go there, but men have worked too hard to divide, even in the kingdom, even on the basis of reaching the lost, in dividing up ministries by cultures. The Lord took of two and made one. That was his purpose. He didn't raise up ministries to reach the Jews and then ministries to reach the Gentiles and have them function and operate separately because we want to give credence to the culture. He destroyed that. Okay? When we see the word reconcile, reconciling both unto God, means to restore friendly relations between. Okay. Strong's concordance, to change, to exchange as coins for others of equivalent value. When he paid the price for us, he reconciled us. To reconcile those who are at variance, return to favor with, be reconciled to one, to receive one into favor. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, Brother Kendrick, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What God did through purchasing us with his blood, breaking down the middle wall of partition, doing the impossible, bringing Jews and Gentiles together in one to a place that the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews, would work so hard to communicate to Gentiles that we're no longer separate. We're no longer divided. He doesn't see me different than he sees you. What he did in doing that, he then turned and gave that to us. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You got a ministry.
I'm looking for a ministry.
You got a ministry. He has given to you the ministry by the work of the Spirit. You have it. How many times do we walk into situations? Well, I don't know what to say. Well, should I do this? Well, I shoulda. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Walk into it. Let it operate. You have the ministry. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto moi, you, us. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now listen. He didn't just say, hey, let me give you a word, man. I give you a word. Like it's a word game. No. He gave you the word that will bring reconciliation. Just like the prophet of God said, he touched my mouth and he put his word in my mouth. Remember that? What he did in the New Testament was he gave us a word. He put the word, he committed the word of reconciliation unto us. Not the word reconciliation, but the word that will bring reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Do you believe me yet? Amen. You believe, not me, believe him. You believe him, right? He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Where's your name tag? Come on, you walked into a well-established business? They got an emblem. BECU. Boeing. I work for Boeing. Now that wouldn't mean anything in Oklahoma, but it does in the Northwest. What does an ambassador do? Is he just a figurehead? No. Ambassador speaks, represents the things that they are ambassador to. We are ambassadors in the kingdom of God. We are his ambassador. All that he did in bringing Jew and Gentile together, the impossible in this world. He did it. And Paul is speaking of it and proclaiming it and saying, now you've got the ministry that will do this. I put my word in you. This is, why do you think he said, don't worry. Don't worry what you're going to say. The Holy Ghost will give you the words at the appointed time. All you got to do is know. I'm his ambassador. When I walk into this place and among these people, I am his ambassador. I have a ministry. That's an operated, that's spirit operation, gifting operating in my life. I got a word. Yeah. I got a word from God. And it's a word that will bring others. Back into right relationship with God. Man, you're powerful. You're somebody. You're somebody. You're the elect. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. We are standing as though he were standing here right now talking to you. Be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Give me your sin. You take my innocence. This is the way he's sending us. Give me your sin. You take my innocence. What is it that keeps us oftentimes in a defeated mentality? That we're not the one. Or maybe we're not able, we're not capable. We don't have the right to say no. He owns us. He bought us. He paid a price for us. And then he gave to us a ministry of reconciliation to a world. You got the word. We got the word. We should write a song about that. You believe it? Amen. You walking in it? Ready to go? Do we have enough business cards to hand out? Now let's go. Why don't you stand? I hope the word is convincing to you. I have to let his word shape my thinking and how I feel about me. Remember when we used to talk about that word, the S word? No, it had 6 letters. S-H-A-M, 5 letters, E. Shame. What is shame? Negative thoughts that I have about myself. And sometimes the very things that keep me from walking in this. Praise God. He slain, he killed the enmity. He blotted out your transgressions. He gave the supreme sacrifice. And when you responded to the gospel, went down in the waters of baptism, when you became alive unto God and quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost, it puts you in right relationship, reconciled, quickened. I'm quickened. Say it with me. I'm quickened. I'm alive unto God. Say that one. I got a ministry. I got a word. Come on, you've wanted to say that. And truly, you can go all over town and say, I got a word from God. The word of reconciliation. These are truths. It's forever settled. It's already been done. Praise God. So I have the right to participate in it everywhere I go. Anybody I talk to. Transform our mind, Lord. Renew our thinking process, Lord. I'm not mine. I'm yours. Put me where you want me, when you want me there. Praise God. Doctor's office, bus station, taxi cabulance. Bank of the river. You know, you could actually go fishing in Puyallup and Witness. They stand 4 feet apart. You ever see them out there in that river? Oh, what's your name? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So what church you go to? Praise God. You want me to let you go? I'm just kind of warming up here. I've been thinking about this word all week. I've mused over this scripture often. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has given to us a ministry of reconciliation. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So you can pretty much look at the mass crowd and say, yep, all of them. He wants to save them all. So pretty much it's anybody I come into contact with. Qualified. You're alive. You're breathing? Yep, you're qualified. You're on the list. You're on his list. Sit down for a minute. We need to be stronger than witness conscious. We need to be witness ready. I borrowed Brother Chan's car the other day to drive home. And when I opened the door, I was not surprised to see a stack of church cards in his ready available spot right there. Because I've observed him. Opportunity given, he's, hold on, let me get your card. Hold on, let me get your card. Always ready. And I thought to myself, where are mine in my truck? Under that pile of stuff in the middle column? I dug down through there and I couldn't find them. I went in the office there and there's only 4 cards left. I went in the back.
And I'm thinking, there's got to be a box around here. We had some more. Do you know where they are? Okay, good.
Thank you. I was ready to place a massive order. There's just something about being always conscious. That's all. And then having the point of reference. You know, I'm not a big guy for just church inviting. I'd rather try to let it prevail right there on the spot, if possible. But there's something about having a ready mind all the time and looking at people not like a prospect, but somebody God's gave you a ministry to bring them back into right relationship with Him. What did it do for you? Did you just become a churchgoer? Heavens no. Sometimes we just need to revisit once in a while. Now, Brother Berglund, he revisits quite often. When he posts Jethro Tull on... Just making fun here. He knows the bands that I was aware of. Same time. Anyway, we need to revisit where we came from. And realize, you know, Brother Lindsay, you told me about your days in the Army and you know, areas of life that you walked through. You weren't, I can't even put you there. You're so far on the other side, another extreme of life. And that's what we have. We have this major contrast of what we were, who we were. We didn't all get the Holy Ghost at 4 years old. Of course, you told us last week you had to get saved at some point. Man, we got all these PKs in here. You remember? You remember the emptiness? You remember the pain? Should I even ask the question? How many here has ever entertained thoughts in their past life of suicide? Got a couple honest ones here. That's just reality. It's reality. We forget just how deep the sorrow was. We forget how deep the pain was and how hopeless and hopeless, 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 hopeless. But God gave somebody a word of reconciliation and they spoke something to you and it set something in motion. And at one point, you came alive unto God. You did arrive. I'm home. Remember the feeling? I was comparing with my brother the other day, our alcoholic tendencies. We were comparing notes, and I hadn't talked about it in a long time, but I was trying my best to get inside his head. And I told him, I said, I remember when I stopped drinking at the bar and picking up a half a rack and going home to my apartment and turning on religious broadcasting and sit there crying in my suds. I remember that. I remember when I couldn't say a complete sentence without cussing. It would have been profane for me not to cuss. That's the way it felt. It felt, it was like, I didn't say that right. Hold on, let me stick this in there. There you go. Now, can't you picture me doing that? Man, was I miserable. And then I hired this biker dude who had been injured and walked with a cane and carried a Bible. Now, he didn't go to church, but he quoted scripture. He'd smoke cigarettes and quote scriptures. Now get this. If he had been more holy, I probably wouldn't have listened to a word he told me. But because he was so, whatever he was, God bless him. I'm serious. He resented me when I got the Holy Ghost. But for 6 months to a year, he dropped little one-liners, quotes. And I'd go home and drink beer and think about those scriptures. And I'd lay on my bed at night and those words that that cigarette-smoking hippie of a Christian, that's what he was. What? He didn't have teeth? I think he had some teeth.
On top. Never
mind. On top.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Oh, Brother Larry, he told me. He'd say, Brother Larry, you just turn your heart to God. Oh, blankety, blank, 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 blank. Get back to work. He was my employee. I never forget the first time I felt this. I'm turning. Turning. Boy, it was a long sweeping corner, but I could feel myself turning. God gave to somebody a word that would reconcile me unto him. All he had to do was get it out of his mouth. And the word would do the work. Unpolished, unkept, unprofessional, unholy. But he had a word that would reconcile me. And he exercised. I owe a lot to Dean Haberfield. I remember looking at him and thinking, well, if I ever do turn my heart to God, I'm going to be a better Christian than you are. It wasn't a resentment in any way. I just knew that God's calling was higher than that. And if I was going to say yes, which I still wasn't ready yet, it would be a higher calling that I would follow. Somebody. Just one person. The Lord used that one individual with me. He didn't send any Pentecostals into the gas station. Had a couple car washes I was running for my grandfather. He didn't send Pentecostals in there. Apostolics. He can work with whoever will be available. I'm going to be available. Day in and day out, he has given me a ministry. He has given me a ministry of reconciliation. I got a word from God. Why don't you stand? Brother Berglund, if you wouldn't mind, would you like to call on you to come and pray in dismissal? I'm not limiting you to that.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that we've heard your word. And God, let it convict us, God, that we